With Love by Small Sherbert. Chapter 1. Muggle Glitter and a Meddling Weasley. More times than she could count, Pansy had been filled with rage directed towards one or another infuriating redhead from the Weasley family. And whilst she had formed a surprisingly good friendship with Ginny Weasley, it was taking all of Pansy's inner strength not to hex her.
"Could you shut up?"
Pansy exclaimed, throwing the mangled strips of paper into Ginny's face.
"I can't make this work with your incessant whinging."
Ginny threw her head back, her laugh short and loud like a bark, and crumpled the paper strips into a ball.
"You can't make this work because we aren't using magic."
"Merlin, is being dense a genetic Weasley trait?"
She tucked hair behind her ears and frowned at the mess between them.
"There cannot be any magic used, not even a sticking charm. I want to do this for her the Muggle way."
"You should have asked a Muggle for help, not me."
"I don't remember asking you for help."
Which was true. Pansy had not asked Ginny for help. Pansy had been preparing this surprise since Christmas the year before. It had been her first Christmas with Hermione as a couple. And at some point in the night, with all the Weasleys and partners crowded around the fireplace, she had noticed a sadness wash over her girlfriend. Their friendship had started during their healing training at St. Mungo's, solidified when Pansy held Hermione's curls back as she vomited on the night she had gotten too drunk over her breakup with Ron, and blossomed into something more when Pansy had become the main healer for Ginny's Quidditch team. It had been Ginny's meddling that had ultimately pushed them together. It had been Ginny's meddling that had dragged Pansy to the Burrow that first Christmas. Truthfully, Pansy had stopped paying attention to the ramblings of Potter for quite some time, and instead had chosen to focus on the way the firelight illuminated her girlfriend's skin, but had immediately tuned back in when Hermione's brow had creased. Her hand tightened on the tumbler in hand, and Pansy had fixed her sharp eyes on Potter. He had gotten into a tale of crafting Christmas decorations the Muggle way, and he had tried to enlist Hermione's help in explaining the process to the Weasleys, but Hermione had seemed to withdraw into herself. It had taken some time for Pansy to extract an explanation, and 3 days into the new year she had gotten the answer she wanted. That answer had driven her mission for the last 12 months. Ginny had inserted herself into the surprise 5 weeks before. The boisterous witch had all but broken into Pansy and Hermione's shared home, seeking a potion from their store, when she had come upon an exceptionally flustered Pansy, whose raven hair had resembled a bird's nest and was covered in exceptional amounts of Muggle glitter. Pansy had explained what she had been doing, and Ginny decided it would be a team effort. As it turned out, neither pureblood had a clue about crafting handmade Christmas decorations without magic.
"Someone needed to help you, or it would have been death by ribbon for you."
Pansy tried to shoot a death stare, but Ginny didn't acknowledge it. She chose to blow a fistful of glitter into the air.
"Listen, Red, there is not enough magic to banish all the places that stuff can reach. If you keep blowing it everywhere, I'm going to feed it to Potter."
"But Pans, look how pretty it is."
"It would be pretty if I could just make it do what I want."
"Perhaps you're being too ambitious," Ginny said, reaching for the parchments that held Pansy's designs. "Maybe if we simplified it."
"It has to be perfect. It will be perfect."
"But," Ginny worried her bottom lip between her teeth, "we have 12 hours until she's home, and we have a grand total of 5 decorations, all of which are poorly cut paper snowflakes."
"Ginevra Weasley," she growled in response, "what did I say about your whinging? Grab that bottle of fire whiskey that I know you have hidden downstairs, and get your Gryffindor arse into gear. Failure is simply not an option."
The grandfather clock in Grimmauld rang boldly through the house as both women packed the decorations into 2 large cardboard boxes.
"Don't worry about the mess. I'll get Creature to clean it up," Ginny said, running her fingers across the mounds of glitter now embedded into the carpet. "Poor thing doesn't have much else to do in this old house."
"You should pop out a sprog for him to take care of."
Pansy shrunk the boxes to fit within the pockets of her robe and walked towards the door,
opened it, and motioned for Ginny to follow her toward the flue.
"Although I imagine it may be considered child abuse to inherit those messes that you and Potter call hair."
Ginny swatted her arm with enough force to almost knock her down the stairs.
"You cheeky git! And what about Hermione's hair?" "Your children would be lucky to inherit those wonderfully soft curls. Have I ever told you how they feel in my hands when we—"
"Do not finish that sentence, Parkinson." Ginny shoved her into the fireplace. "Send her my love."
"Yes, of course. Sentimentality is a Weasley speciality."
Pansy met her soft brown eyes.
"Thank you, Ginevra. I couldn't have done it without you."
Pansy called for her home before she could hear Ginny scream an inevitable, "I told you so!" Once alone in their flat, Pansy began to flap under the pressure. She darted around the flat and placed each decoration in one place, and then another, before moving it back to the original position. She had decided that the entire process would be without magic. This would be her gift to Hermione, and it had to be perfect. She slotted the final bauble into place when the fireplace roared and her favorite witch walked through. A glance at the clock and she realized,
"Hermione!"
She almost ran headfirst into her.
"You're early. Is everything o—"
The expression on Hermione's face was unreadable. Her bright eyes took in the entirety of their living room, and her mouth dropped into a small O shape. Pansy had taken a long time cataloging the expressions that flitted across her girlfriend's face, and never, not even once, had her expression been unreadable. Had she made an egregious error? Had she not understood Hermione's confession correctly? Had this entire mission been destined for failure?
"What?"
Hermione cleared her throat with a small cough.
"Pansy, was this you?"
She watched Hermione's curls fall free from the restraint of the bun before she padded toward the tree. She watched as her girlfriend's eyes darted from bauble to bauble, trailed the length of the popcorn garland, and stopped for several seconds on the star that crowned the fir. Hermione's whiskey eyes burned like a log fire under the glow of the fairy lights. Pansy noticed the tears that pooled and swirled there. She fixated on the bob of Hermione's throat. It seemed that her witch was about to cry.
"No, no, no!"
Pansy's voice inched higher.
"You're crying! Why are you crying? Please stop crying!"
Hermione turned to face her and placed her small hands against Pansy's cheeks.
"Did you do this?"
Pansy nodded.
"And this?"
Hermione pointed to the star atop the tree that held a photo of baby Hermione and her parents within it. Pansy nodded.
"And this?"
Hermione removed one hand. Her fingertips grazed the popcorn garland and stopped to twirl several of the cranberries. Pansy nodded.
"With magic?" "No," Pansy swallowed. "By hand. No magic, I swear."
She tugged Hermione closer.
"I'm impressed."
A shaky exhale escaped her.
"You aren't sad?"
"No." Hermione placed her nose against Pansy's.
"Merlin, not at all.
Speechless, but not sad." Pansy tilted her head and sought the soft press of Hermione's lips.
"All I could think was how dreadfully unhappy you were, listening to Potter ramble about Muggle traditions, and then, when you shared your story—"
She took in a deep breath.
"Hermione, sweetheart, you gave up everything for the war. Don't let it take away your traditions, too. We are nothing without them, without our history. This can be a way for you to keep a piece of them."
She knew that Hermione understood, and could see it in the tears that trickled down her face. Pansy felt her heart shatter. Even when crying, her witch was a beauty.
"Everything here I made by hand, with all of my love. I designed each item for you. For them. I'm sorry that I never got to meet them, but I know, without a doubt, that they would be exceptionally proud of the woman you are."
She wrapped her arms around her waist, pulling her flush, and let herself get lost in the kiss. They stood there, basked in the soft glow of all that Pansy had created, and conveyed more in touch than either could in words.
"Thank you," Hermione said.
She detached herself from Pansy's embrace and began to walk around the room, her eager hands reaching for each decoration, from the miniature Santas made of felt to the handmade snow globes. She continued to mutter her appreciation.
"You should probably thank Ginevra, too," Pansy said, her eyes rolling dramatically. "She may or may not have put her meddlesome Weasley skills to use."
Hermione's laughter rang like bells.
"Of course. I'll thank her tomorrow when we go to the Burrow."
She reached for Pansy's hand.
"Now, how about I thank you in the bedroom, Miss Parkinson?"
With Love, by Small Sherbert. Chapter 2. Ribbons and Restraints. It briefly crossed her mind that her grip on Pansy's wrist may be on the wrong side of firm, but that thought was pushed aside by the rush of adrenaline that flooded her, bombarded with the mental imagery of leaving marks on Pansy's perfect porcelain skin. Evidence of their crimes of passion, she thought, and chuckled to herself. Her witch made her loopy, in the best possible way. Pansy shot her a questioning look, which Hermione ignored, choosing instead to twirl Pansy around their bedroom before walking her back towards their bed. Pansy's bold laughter rang freely, and it warmed Hermione's bones to hear it. Her raven-haired beauty had not ceased to surprise her since the war. Gone were the days of her pinched sneers, cold shoulders, and barbed words. The woman that Pansy had grown to be fueled a fire in Hermione's veins. She thought back on their past and ran her fingers mindlessly through Pansy's hair. She thought back to the surprise that had washed through her on the induction day of their healer's training. Of all the Hogwarts alumni that she had thought she would have been course mates with, that list did not include one Miss Pansy Parkinson. It had been a pleasant surprise, one that had started the cogs turning in Hermione's brain. She had not anticipated that the former Slytherin would choose healing as an occupation. It had created an air of mystery around Pansy, and she had been determined to crack it. The intrigue had morphed swiftly into a fixation, generating an itch that Hermione had just needed to scratch. Hermione twirled the soft locks of hair that tickled the tips of Pansy's shoulders and smiled fondly on the memory that flashed behind her eyes, of Pansy holding back Hermione's curls whilst she drunkenly vomited an entire bottle's worth of fire whiskey into the grubby toilets of the leaky cauldron. Hermione had attended training that day with puffy eyes and tear tracks that wouldn't seem to budge from her cheeks after quite a messy breakup with Ronald. Recipient of kindness that she had not known the former Slytherin to possess, Hermione had been forcefully dragged for evening drinks to
celebrate the long-awaited abandonment of the whining weasel,
as Pansy had so aptly put it. Pansy had suffered through all of Hermione's stages of grief and had gone so far as to rub soothing circles between her shoulders until her dry heaving had ceased. Hermione had needed that support during such a vulnerable moment, and that had tied the two witches together in a way that neither of them could truly understand at the time. It formed a delicate friendship between them. Hermione watched her fingers ghost the expanse of Pansy's neck. Her chocolate eyes traced the rosy flush that followed in the wake of her caress. She had first seen that soft rose blush 18 months prior, on Ginny's birthday. Pansy had taken to the world of Quidditch once she had been signed off as a healer, and Hermione had stayed in St. Mungo's, specifically the Janice Thickey ward, and this distinction had wedged a gap in their communication, different schedules, different responsibilities. As happens with many adult friendships, time became a scarce and valuable currency that they couldn't exchange. Ginny, ever the observant witch, had noticed the pining and had orchestrated a grand old Weasley party with a special covert mission of reuniting Hermione and Pansy. Celebrations of her favorite Weasley had been forgotten when Pansy had flushed an ever-so-subtle shade of pink under the garden lights in the fields behind the burrow. Hermione had never seen Pansy's shyness before that day. They had ended up sharing one too many drinks, and within the chaos of a Weasley birthday, they slipped off to the riverbank, sharing the remainder of their bottle in between soft whispers of their lives since their healer's training. It had ended up with Pansy's head between her thighs and Hermione's screams lost to a summer breeze. She traced Pansy's jaw before she rested her palm there. Pansy's heartbeat felt like a herd of angry hippogriffs trampling through her bloodstream. Hermione smirked.
"Where is your mind at, you brilliant woman?" Pansy asked.
They stood, frozen. Hermione's hands framed Pansy's sharp jaw. Hermione bent forward, delighted in the fact that she was the taller of the two, and stared into the endless pools of Pansy's onyx eyes.
"I'm thinking of you. Of us," she answered candidly. "You, Miss Parkinson, are full of surprises."
Pansy nibbled her bottom lip in response, and dropped her gaze to Hermione's lips with a hunger in her eyes.
"Ah, ah, ah," Hermione wagged her finger. "You have done so much already. Tonight is for you."
Pansy mumbled a response. The rose flush became a deeper shade. Hermione tilted her gaze upwards and asked her girlfriend to speak louder.
"It isn't enough."
"What isn't enough?"
"Everything. I want everything to be enough for you."
Pansy inhaled shakily.
"I was a wretched child, cowardly and spiteful. I want to be enough for you. You are bold and brilliant, and Salazar so bloody brave, Hermione. You give and you give yourself to this world, unapologetically, and, well, it's amazing. And I don't want to be another version of the weasel. I don't want to be incompetent or a burden."
Her scowl is a Pansy classic, and Hermione does a poor job of keeping her laughter contained.
"You are everything. You're already enough, just as you are."
Hermione releases a soft sigh. Her lover's harsh upbringing had carved insecurity deep into Pansy's psyche. The pressures of pureblood society, shouldered by the women, were archaic and had splintered part of Pansy's heart, a part that she had spent her adult life attempting to heal. And Hermione, being Hermione, was determined to prove her point in the only way she knows how, in a way that Pansy would understand. She frog-marched Pansy back to their living room and gave her a not-so-gentle shove forward. Hermione stood behind her and let her take in the wondrous Christmas display of her creation. Their living space was a soft glow of lights, reflective glitter, and padded with soft textures of deep reds, golds, and silver accents.
"Look at this," Hermione gestured. "You did all of this, without magic, Pans. You love me in a way that I didn't know was possible. I'm not simply one-third of the Golden Trio. I'm not just a walking encyclopedia when I'm with you. My love, when I'm with you, I feel seen."
Hermione walked around until she could face Pansy.
"You taught me to see myself, to reflect on my own needs, my own wants."
A demure smile appeared on Pansy's face. Hermione mirrored it.
"And right now, Miss Parkinson, I want you."
She lunged forward, crushed her lips to Pansy's, and refused to break the kiss until her lungs screamed in her chest. They each heaved in deep, panting breaths. Her hand was on Pansy's throat, and one of Pansy's hands inside her bra.
"Now, Miss Parkinson," Hermione said. "Back to the bedroom."
Pansy all but ran to their bedroom and left a delicate echo of giggles in her wake. Hermione pulled a ribbon from the tree and moved quickly to follow, using her tall frame to guide Pansy toward their bed until she had her pinned beneath her. A quick charm, and Pansy's wrists were tied up in the sparkly red ribbon. Her witch felt like fiend fire. Skin burned underneath Hermione's touch. She pressed her lips against every stretch of uncovered skin. She nibbled Pansy's earlobes, aware of how it made her clench her thighs. She sucked on Pansy's pulse point and didn't let up until she was sure there would be marks. She moved to leave an identical mark on her collarbone when Pansy stuttered,
"Please! Fuck! Hermione! Please!"
Hermione pulled back with a lopsided grin.
"You're so pretty when you beg."
And she was, eyes blown wide so that it was impossible to tell the onyx ring from the pupil, lips swollen and angry from biting down to silence her moans. Pansy was the epitome of desire, and fuck if Hermione didn't want more. Her leg was rested between Pansy's. Hermione's charm kept her hands pinned to the bed, helpless. The red looked divine against her pale complexion. She moved her leg and raised it to where her knee could be rested against the spot Pansy needed it most. Pansy shut her eyes in anticipation. Hermione cast a wandless sticking charm to hold Pansy's wrists in place. The ribbon sparkled under the light. Pansy's eyes opened wide, confusion evident in the crease of her brow.
"Do you remember our first Valentine?"
Hermione asked, her brow quirked. Pansy gave a shaky nod in response.
"That was the first time you let me take the lead. The first time you let me taste you."
Her voice became a soft purr.
"You put trust in me that night, Pansy. You let me tie you to this bed and enjoy you for hours."
"Hermione!" Pansy's voice was a high-pitched whine. Her hips bucked beneath Hermione in a pathetic attempt to seek friction from Hermione's strategically placed knee.
"You came a total of 8 times that night?"
Hermione catalogued the hitch in her lover's breathing. She loved to talk, loved to pour filthy words into Pansy's mind, and Pansy loved to listen. Hermione could have her witch panting and begging without so much as a touch. The power made Hermione's head spin.
"I think we can reach 10, don't you?"
She watched Pansy's eyes roll back, watched as her lungs dragged in big, heaving breaths.
"And you are going to count them."
Hermione had once discovered that there were several types of orgasms to be achieved. Looking down on the petite, dark-haired beauty she had the pleasure to call her lover, Hermione wanted to tick each one on the list.
"Dans mon esprit et dans ton esprit,"
she cast the charm with a soft whisper, and with her trained eyes, spotted the moment it affected Pansy.
"We've been working on this with the French Ministry, a new branch of mind magic. Allow me to show you just how perfect you are, Miss Parkinson."
Pansy's eyes glazed over, and her jaw became slack. Hermione leant forward, her lips a whispered touch against Pansy's cheek. Their bodies leveled against one another.
"But this is a Hermione Granger special. De mon cœur au tien."
The spell moved with ferocity, combined effortlessly with the former. It pushed Pansy's spine up, her back arched, and her chest rubbed against Hermione's.
"Do you feel it? Can you feel what I'm telling you, my love?"
Hermione used her hand to push against Pansy's stomach, to hold her flat against the bed.
"Close your eyes."
And Pansy did. Hermione's heart rate increased at the exact moment that Pansy gasped.
"Tell me. Use your words while you can. What do you feel?" "Everything,"
Pansy replied, eyes shut tightly together.
"I feel everything. Fuck, how?" "De mon cœur au tien, Miss Parkinson."
Hermione knew that Pansy could not understand French, and chuckled to herself that no matter how many times she repeated the charm, Pansy wouldn't have a clue.
"Let me give a demonstration."
She allowed her eyes to travel south, allowing the feeling of lust, want, and of desire to swirl in her bloodstream. Wanted Pansy to know that simply looking at her was enough. She removed her hands and kept only her knee against Pansy's body, kept her knee slightly to the right, just out of reach.
"Can I confess to you a secret?"
Her voice was low, barely above a whisper, but it didn't matter. You were the motivation behind my first orgasm. Purely accidental, of course. You called me frigid in potions. Fifth year, I believe. And at the time, I had no concept of that word. Didn't understand the connotations, and so I did what I always do. I researched. And do you know what I found?
Pansy's head moved side to side, still unable to use her vocal cords.
I bent the rules, found a stack of books that were more like guides, and stole them. Hid them in my room, and waited until I had an evening alone. I followed them word for word, and couldn't reach the nirvana that the authors advised I would. Convinced myself that you were right, and I was frigid. That I was nothing more than a prissy little bookworm.
No!
Pansy's voice was unstable, couldn't hold the one-syllable word. Hermione pressed her index finger against her lips in a shushing motion.
And there I was, with my legs parted wide, with two fingers pressed inside of me, dripping in need, but I couldn't crest the hill. I had found something I wasn't good at, and I was furious. Furious that you were right, and all I could think of was how stupidly pretty you were. How prim and proper. The perfect pureblood.
Hermione could see how her words affected Pansy. She knew that the spell had her lover in its grasp, and with each word, Hermione's memories were being played like a movie in Pansy's mind.
You and your perfect hair, never a strand out of place. Your petite frame and manicured nails. Gods, you made me mad with your horrible words and perfect enunciation, and before I realized what was happening, my fingers were moving and my legs were trembling. Do you understand what I'm saying?
She pursed her lips and blew a soft trail of air where a bead of sweat dripped down the column of Pansy's neck.
I had my first orgasm to the thought of you. The mere thought of you had me screaming and left me panting and desperate. I've been desperate for you for years.
Pansy was a mess. Her legs quivered and hips bucked into nothing, rotated to seek Hermione's knee that was pressed gently into her hip bone. Her bottom lip was held tight between her teeth, and Hermione knew that there was a symphony of moans locked away, waiting to be released.
And every long night during the war, I would wait until the boys were sound asleep, and I'd let my mind wander to you. I even stole the map from Harry once, and buried myself under the covers while I tried to find you. Can you tell me what I found?
Pansy did not answer. Her cheeks were flushed a burning red, and beads of sweat trickled down the side of her face. Hermione had her exactly where she wanted her, wound up tight, straddling the edge of ecstasy and need. It would take a slight nudge to send Pansy careening over into the bliss of a hard and fast orgasm.
I found you on that map, Pansy, in a hidden alcove with Padma. Godric, I was jealous. I pretended I was Padma, and imagined fantasies of us in the alcoves of Hogwarts. Thank Merlin for silencing charms, because I came calling your name the whole night.
Her charm was a beautiful thing to behold, and her new addition created a combination so visceral that Pansy was simply a passenger in her own body. Hermione had taken her dirty talk to a new level. She had certainly painted a picture for Pansy before, but this charm work connected her words, her memories, and her physical feelings, and acted as a conduit for those emotions to be felt in Pansy's neurons. The lust that her girlfriend usually felt had been amplified. Layered on her desire was Hermione's. Without having laid so much as a finger on Pansy, Hermione had brought her to climax. The raven-haired witch was shaking and mumbling incoherent words. She let Pansy ride the aftershocks before she removed the sticking charm from her wrists, but she left the ribbon as a restraint. Hermione awarded soft, lazy kisses to Pansy.
You took that beautifully.
She felt Pansy smile against her lips, and their teeth clicked together clumsily.
But I'm not finished with you yet.
Hermione vanished their clothes, unnecessary pieces of fabric that kept her from what she truly wanted. She littered kisses down Pansy's sternum, but did not pause to give attention to Pansy's pert nipples. She would return to that shortly.
Her skin tasted of the vanilla body wash that Pansy liked so much. Hermione hummed her approval. She kissed lower and lower until she reached the strip of hair, kept perfectly, like every other inch of Pansy, and shot her a devilish grin.
"I can't tell you how much I'm going to enjoy this," Hermione said, before she latched her mouth onto Pansy's clit.
She didn't care that Pansy would still be sensitive from her recent orgasm, and focused on pulling enjoyment from the taste of Pansy. Pansy screamed and moved to wriggle from Hermione's ministrations. Hermione's eyes closed. She wanted to savor this moment of bliss. Pansy tasted decadent, and Hermione would enjoy the slice of control that she held, determined to have her fill. When Pansy's thighs attempted to close around her head, Hermione pushed them apart. The tremors that ran through Pansy's body were electric, and fuck if it wasn't the singular, hottest sight to see the usually perfect pure-blood princess come apart from her touch. Her head was thrown back, the symphony of moans that she had tried to hold back echoed around their bedroom, and her eager hands tweaked at her stiff nipples. Hermione moved her tongue in the opposite way and lightened the pressure, and felt Pansy's body stiffen. She removed her mouth with a pop.
"I said I'll be enjoying this. I want to savor how it feels to have you on my tongue."
Hermione teased with light flicks, long licks, and gentle sucking that made Pansy growl in frustration. She was dripping all over Hermione's chin when her fingernails dug into her curls.
"More!"
Pansy demanded, and rolled her hips forward.
"Take it,"
Hermione responded, and watched as heat flashed in her eyes.
"You want more? Then take it."
Pansy did just that. She undid the ribbon that held her wrists together and used it to tie Hermione's curls away from her face. In between Hermione's thighs, she became incredibly slick, and she could feel it trickling down her legs, but she did not move, ignoring the need to seek friction. Her pleasure could wait. Pansy held her in place, sharp little nails that dug painfully into her scalp, and fucked Hermione's face until she crested with a scream. Her thighs clamped against Hermione, and for a brief moment, with Pansy locked in the shocks of her climax, Hermione thought that she would be happy to die like this. When Pansy's legs dropped open, and Hermione could breathe again, she nipped playfully at her inner thigh and planted several kisses across her cunt before sitting upright.
"I think this is time for a snack break, love."
Hermione stood and wandlessly waved a box onto the bed.
"Pick your favorite toy while I ready something light for us to enjoy."
Pansy's body may have been limp, but her mind was as quick as ever.
"Bring the whipped cream. I believe I have a favor to return."